Warning. Warning. This podcast contains information in Italian language. I repeat, this podcast contains information in Italian. Cin cin.
Hey Wine Geek, it's nice to have you back. Welcome to this extra special episode of Everybody Needs a Bit of Scienza, where Stevie Kim and Il Professore take a trip to Azienda Agricola Foradori. A video version of this podcast is available on Mama Jumbo Shrimp's YouTube channel. Check it out!
Before the show, here's a shout out to our new sponsor, Ferro Wine. Ferro Wine has been the largest wine shop in Italy since 1920. They have generously supplied us with our new t-shirt. Would you like one? Just donate 50 euros and it's all yours. Plus, we'll throw in our new book, Jumbo Shrimp Guide to International Grape Varieties in Italy. For more info, go to italianwinepodcast.com and click donate, or check out Italian Wine Podcast on Instagram.
Okay, so let's go to some wine questions with Emilio. It's kind of a big responsibility, right, to take over the production side from all the preconceived notions of what your mother's name carries, Elisabetta Foradori, right? So now your name is Emilio, not Foradori, but
Seahawk.
How do you spell that?
Seahawk, that's a complicated German name.
Z-I-E-R-O-C-K.
Ah, okay, Xerox. Okay, so you guys are all Xerox.
Yes.
Right, like Xerox, almost. Okay, so tell us, like, first of all, tell us kind of the basics, the must-know about Foradori wines today.
So the winemaking is always changing, and it's changing especially when the winemakers change, because to make wine in our way, in an artisanal way, means to put the own ideas and also the own beliefs in the process. And if you're not making an industrial standardized wine, this component is very important. So what is winemaking for us today? So what I try to do is to bring the whole diversity we have outside in our vineyard also in a glass of wine. This means basically that we use just two ingredients to make wine, grapes, and before going to bottle, we use a little bit of SO2. That's
sulfite,
it.
Yeah.
So we don't use the...
How much?
It depends. I try to go into bottle with 20 milligrams of SO2 free, so it depends on the pH and on the vintage. But we never are above 50 milligrams of total SO2 in a bottle of wine of Foradori. So this has to be said, because in the European Union you can use about 500 substances, additives, to transform juice, grape juice, into wine. And we also live in a region where this is widely used. And instead of looking what we can add and how we can modify grape juice or wine before winemaking, that's the typical thing enologists are doing. So if something is not in place on the point, so if you need, you have the pH is too high, so you're going to acidify, or if you need more sugar, you add it. So there are a lot of techniques. Our vision is to observe microbiology, and this is what we do most of the time. We taste the wines and we look under the microscope what's happening in that tank in that moment. What are yeast doing? What are bacteria doing? How can I guide the fermentation? And this is the big topic and also the big challenge we have to face by doing wines without additives or just one additive.
So what about the wines itself? Like, what is the signature wine of Foradori?
So the winery changed a lot in the last year. For sure, Granato is our signature icon wine. It's the wine that opened a lot of doors to my mom. It's still the most important wine for us, but we also changed. So we also
that's, of course, Teroldego.
That's, of course, Teroldego, so our local
And how is Granato made?
So Granato comes from three old vineyards, which are around 80 years old. We take a very ripe fruit and let the wine ferment in oak and also age in oak. But in the last years, because the experiments are getting more and more, we also discovered new expressions of Teroldego, like, for example, Lezer, which are completely different to what we did before. So we discovered the freshness and also the, let's say, lighter side of this variety. So my mom tried to make out of the Teroldig, and this was the vision of the Granato, an international, well-established big red wine. But Teroldig can also show a lighter, sunnier side of this variety.
Yeah, I see that a lot in like natural wine bars, kind of the hip, you know, natural wine bars, if that's fair to say. But what about yourself personally? How have you already, I know that you've started your kind of, you had a new label, because when I came to see you, you're very excited about 40 Pista. Tell us a little bit about 40 Pista.
So when I came here, my first vintage was 2013, and literally my mother gave me the key of the cellar door and said, Emilio, now it's your job. So of course the first 2 years you try to observe what's going on, you try to not to mess it up, you try not to make a lot of vinegar. I just have to say the first two vintages were...
But your mom was not involved in at all when she gave you the keys, kind of?
She knew, we discussed the protocol and she looked after it, but she really let me do. And the first 2 years I tried to understand that, and I also would say copy and make copy and paste, but kind of. There were 13 and 14 were quite easy vintages, so easy not in terms of ripeness because the grapes were two very difficult vintages, but in terms of, let's say, chemistry, they were easy because the alcohol levels were quite low, acidity was there, pH was low, so fermentation were fine. Everything changed then in 2015 when I had the first hot vintage, the first modern vintage, early mm-hmm. ripeness, ripe grapes, alcohol, and then I discovered more about the microbiology of Teroldego because it was a very difficult vintage to handle. So alcoholic and malolactics going on together, trying to understand what Brettanomyces is. So there was a lot to do. And in these years, I also started to vinify some international varieties like Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, and Pinot Grigio on the skins. This was 2013, and Pinot Grigio seemed to have a real character, a real soul here in the Piana Italiana. And this is why Fuori Pista was born in 2014. Fuori Pista means literally out of the slope, out of the ski slope. And it's a Pinot Grigio with maceration, which shows what usually Pinot Grigio from Trentino does not show. So
actually, I had originally, when I came down, I think I had the 2014 vintage.
Yeah, that was
right?
The first one.
And it had kind of the orangey tint to it, right? And then today you gave us a glass of Fuori Pista, and it was pretty reddish. Right, much more alive. I mean, still very translucent. So same grape, same type of skin contact, right? One wasn't longer than the other. Why the difference in color variation?
Yeah, Pinot Grigio is a variety which has really problems to have a stable color. So every vintage is, of course, different. And if it's riper, you get usually more anthocyanins. If you have a hotter season, you have more anthocyanins. If you have a rainy season, you have less anthocyanins. Anthocyanin is the color component of the skin of the grape. And so this is also what you find in a glass of wine. So 14 was very rainy, not a lot of color. Grape skins were more this kind of amber, dark yellow color, and 18 was a warm vintage with almost red skins, and so we had a much darker color.
Okay, great. There's just so much to talk about in terms of wine, but what I'm going to do with the next few minutes is to talk about your favorite wines from Foradori and why. Let's start with Mirta.
My favorite wine.
Yes, and why?
So this question is something that we got asked
all the time.
All the time. And my all-time response to it, because I like all of our wines, I have a hard time to say which one is my favorite in terms of just taste. But my favorite also to sell and to promote is just the normal Foradori, for the simple reason that everybody likes it. It's easy to share with everyone, and like the sharing part I like to tell people you need a good, you know, present for somebody. You need, don't buy some crappy wine. With this one, you're going to be winner. It's always going to be fine. So it's something that I think it's versatile. It's the standard, let's say, I would say, answer to all the customers that ask. And for myself, I just enjoy opening a bottle where I don't have to think about too much. Like there's evenings where I don't want to be, let's say, too deep into a Granato or so. Of course, special occasions are for better special wines, but the Foradori is just, for me, the key for everything.
Great. We're almost near a close now. And what about you, Theo? What is your favorite wine? Because when we were having lunch, you said it was Nozziola.
Yes.
And why? Why?
Nozziola, because Nozziola is it's a bit of a mystical variety. It's very low alcohol, very very strange, especially in the first year or two. It's a very subtle, shy variety. But at the same time, it has a schizophrenic part, because after a certain moment, depending on the vintage, it can be 3, it can be 4, it can be 5 years, but it flips completely. It becomes a very strong wine at the same time without really having symptoms of aging. It doesn't really oxidize. It just changes structure. It becomes a very different animal, and I like that people are always surprised when they drink it. It's always a topic of conversation.
I agree. Since you're in charge of kind of also the communication, who's doing your Instagram now? Do you guys?
Me and Raffaele.
You and?
Raffaele.
Oh, okay. Because when I came, the Instagram didn't exist. But you're also the photographer, right?
Yes.
The photos, are they yours?
No, in fact, not. I have a really hard time photographing the winery. I always had, because it's you're the son of the boss.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of the boss.
But now you're your own boss, kind of, right?
Yes, but I don't. There's something perverted about photographing your employees. You know what I mean? There's something wrong about it. And also, it doesn't really add to the image, because, I mean, it's better if somebody else does. So me and Raffaele, he works part-time for us. He's a graphic designer.
Uh-huh.
And he's always here, so he's in charge of all the labels and all these things. And I like him to do it.
Right.
And then we do a planning beforehand, like what content and who should we call. We call one or two photographers a year, always very good guys that I usually are photojournalists, in fact. So they usually come from the journalism. And it's more fun to kind of see them react to a very strange place, because Mezzo Lombardo has some part, in some extent, some traits of Mezzo Lombardo are still medieval.
Right.
Morally and mentally.
Right.
So especially this year we had Glauco Canalis, who's very, you know, he's used to this street fashion, London style, and then we throw him to Mezzo Lombardo, and it's actually quite interesting to see what comes out.
Yeah, well, I think with that, I think we're going to close. I'm very excited to see the new generation taking over, if you will. I think Mezzo Lombardo actually is not very far from Verona. It's about an hour drive. So I think it's definitely worth your while. If you get a chance, pop by. That's Foradori. It's foradori.com, right?
Agricola Foradori.
Yeah, agricolaforadori.com, and check it out. I see that their Instagram, it's pretty interesting. They're doing some funky stuff, and I think you should check it out. Okay, that's it for now. Thank you for joining us. Until next time. Arrivederci.
Ciao,
ciao.
Thank you for tuning in once again to this special episode of Everybody Needs a Bit of Scienza. I'll see you next time. Cin cin.